Praise the Lord, church. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. How many of you rely on that name this morning? There's power in the name of Jesus. You can go ahead and be seated this morning. Way back on Father's Day. Seems a long time ago, doesn't it? I started a series, Slaying the Giants Daddy Left Behind, and I preached the message. I titled the message, Identifying Strongholds. And today we're going to get to part two, and tonight we will do part three. We will be talking about destroying strongholds this morning, and tonight we will talk about living free from strongholds. So I just want to let you know what's coming up here. We had a great camp. How many of you were able to take and make it up to family camp? We had just an incredible camp, and as some would say, it's you know, we always hear this, it's the best camp ever. And I began to think about that best camp ever, and I really feel that the camps each year is always the best camp ever, and the reason that is because it's designed by God so that His church would hear the most relevant words for the day in which we live in. Last year's camp was the best camp for last year because everything we heard last year was relevant to where the church was last year, and this year everything was relevant to where we are as a church and as a nation this year. So yes, it was the best camp ever this year. We had great preaching in the morning, great preaching in the evening. We had a Friday morning at the conclusion of the service. The Lord just swept in the place, and we had a prophecy, and I have to admit it disturbed me a bit, and the prophecy was along these lines, somewhat paraphrased, that judgment is coming to this country. God spoke specifically not to the world, not to Europe, not to Greece, not to Russia, but judgment is coming to America. It is coming, and you and I and this church, we had better be ready. We'd be better get ready for a tsunami wave of God's power as it flows across this world and across this nation. Brother Sisko spoke on Thursday night of the 11th hour. And church, we are living the 11th hour. It is happening right before our very eyes. I know it has quickened in my spirit, and I have been trying to relay this over this pulpit that we need to prepare and you need to prepare for what is coming upon this world, but not only in the judgment side of things, but in the revival side of things. Because I believe that as judgment sweeps across, that as a result of the judgments of God sweeping across a nation, that there will be literally tens and hundreds of thousands of people that will react to that judgment and will fall on their faces and repent from their wicked ways. And that is where the church, we, you and I, need to be ready and need to be shining for those people. This is what this series is about. And I believe that if we cannot, you and I, if we cannot destroy the strongholds that are in our own lives, if we cannot defeat Satan here, right here, in this church, in this sanctuary, if we can't defeat Satan in this sanctuary, in our stronghold, in God's stronghold, then how can we defeat him out there on the street? You see, church, we must first defeat the strongholds in our lives before we can be a usable tool by God to defeat the strongholds that we are facing. I'm asking each individual who attended this year's camps, whether it's junior camp, senior camp, or family camp, to build upon what you have experienced. Build upon what your experience was at camp. God deals with each and every one of us differently, and we all have different experiences. So do not let this go to waste. God is seeking to use you. He's seeking to use myself in the miraculous and in the supernatural. And we must keep pushing forward. As I said, on Father's Day, I started a series, and it seems Father's Day, it's hard to believe that it seems, it's a month ago actually today, I believe. So 1 month ago today, and we look at all that has transpired in the last month. But this morning, the second sermon in this series, and we'll hopefully finish this tonight, will be slaying the giants Daddy left behind and destroying strongholds. Strongholds that are within my life and your life. In 1936, a civil war had broken out in the country of Spain. Two generals were talking about how to take over the particular city that stood before them and needed to be taken, for it had become a rebel stronghold, or it was a stronghold of the enemy. And when asked about his particular strategy, the commanding general replied, "I have one column of soldiers coming in from the south. I have one column of soldiers coming in from the north, one column from the east, and one column from the west." And then he paused and he says, "But I have a fifth column, and that is the column that I am relying on to take the city." The other general asked, "Where is that fifth column?" He replied, the general replied, "It is inside of the city." If you have a stronghold in your life, there is a fifth column that the enemy has inside of your life, and he will try to use that to destroy you. You see, Satan has three main weapons that he uses against us, and the most obvious weapon he uses is sin. Satan is known as the tempter. We read in Matthew 4:3 that Satan, the tempter, came to Jesus as he was getting to the end of his 40-day fast, and he was hungry, and he was tired, and he was in a weakened condition. At least so thought Satan. And when the tempter came to him and he said, "If thou be the Son of God," Satan was saying, "If you claim to be who you say you are," we could look at this and put this into our own personal context. How many times has the enemy come to you and say, "So you say you claim to be a Christian?" Satan was saying, "Thou art the Son of God. Command these stones to be made bread." You see, sin is an active weapon. Sin is much like a guided missile. It seeks you out. It destroys you as it was designed to do. You will know when it hits you. You will know immediately, for Romans 6:23 tells us, "For the wages of sin is death." The wages of sin is death. If you continue to live a life of sin, that life will end in death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The second weapon that Satan uses is a more passive weapon. It's like a trap that is camouflaged on your path. It's set up for you to fall into. And that trap, my friend, is called accusations. Accusations. We read in the scripture where Satan is described as the accuser of the brethren. We read in the Old Testament from the book of Zechariah, chapters 3, verses 1, "And he showed me Joshua." Now, not to be confused with Joshua, who was Moses' predecessor, but Joshua was the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. If you look at the word resist there actually means to accuse him, to accuse him. Read also in Revelations, John the Beloved, he penned these words as he was exiled on the Isle of Patmos in Revelation 12:10, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down. And who is the accuser of the brethren but Satan, which accused them? That means Satan came and accused me, and he took the things that was in my life, maybe the strongholds or the sin that I had in my life, and he ran to the throne daily and accused me. He accuses you. He's a narc. As if God doesn't know when we sin, now we have Satan running around and narking on you and I because we made a mistake. He is the accuser of the brethren, which accused them before our God day and night. This is what Satan does day and night before the throne of God. If he has the courage to do that before God, who knows what all he is able to take and do inside of you and I is mere flesh and blood. Even though we are forgiven, he reminds us of every sin we have committed. And when we get down on ourselves, he takes those sins and he likes to grind them in as though he's putting his foot against our neck and saying, I see what you did, I know what you've done, and I'm going straight to the throne and I'm telling on you. We are called of God by name, but Satan shouts at us that we have been forsaken and we are not good enough for ministry, even though we are protected by Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 13:5, he says, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Listen, if you feel like Jesus Christ has left you or forsaken you, his word declares he will never leave me and he will never forsake me. The problem is most of the time we leave him and we forsake him. Satan uses the problems and the challenges we face every day as a ramrod to try to destroy our confidence as well as in ourselves and as well as in our God. You are not worthy. You have messed up too many times. Do you understand that God is tired of forgiving you? Satan uses accusations to generate anxiety that is strong enough so that we will step out from underneath the protection of God's mighty hand. And when we step out from underneath that protection, this is why Peter admonishes the church in 1 Peter 5:5-7, we read, Humble yourselves therefore before the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him. For he careth for you. Now you look at the New International Version, states it this way, casting all your anxieties upon him because he cares for you. Anxiety begins to take over in our lives and fear replaces faith and despair overtakes hope. This is why Paul wrote in his second letter to Timothy, in Timothy, 2 Timothy 1:7, he's saying, remember young Timothy, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear. God has not planted fear in your life. The fear comes from the enemy, but God is planting and desiring to put a power and love and a sound mind. We read, when we read the scriptures, we need to personalize the word. So many times we read the scripture and we don't put it in our own minds and in our own hearts. And I like to read this. Remember, Roy Grant, for God hath not given you a spirit of fear. When the enemy comes against you, God is not going to give you the fear, but the enemy will give you the fear. But he's going to give me the power. He's going to give me the power. What kind of power is he going to give me? He's going to give me the Holy Ghost power. He's going to give me a supernatural power and of love. What kind of love is he going to give me? It's not going to be love that the world has. It's not going to be a lust-filled, here today, gone tomorrow love. But it's an eternal love that he will give to me every day of my life. The church, as a church, these first two weapons that Satan uses against us
By and large, most of us were very much aware of these weapons. Adequate Bible teaching that we have had over the years helps us deal with the effect on us and how to defend against him. However, Satan's third weapon is the most dangerous weapon of them all because it can be neither active nor it can be passive, but oft times it lies within our hearts and within our minds. It's like that underwater mine that is laying out there in the ocean of life. It can be planted. It can be left undetected, waiting for the ideal moment as your ship plows through somewhat calm waters, and all of a sudden it comes in contact with that mine and it explodes and it destroys your life because it is dormant. It is easy for the enemy to conceal it from us. Most Christians do not figure this out or don't even understand what is really happening to them until it has already wreaked devastation upon them. And this devastating weapon I would like to call this morning as a spiritual stronghold. It allows Satan to control us. It makes us do things that bring great damage to ourselves as well to others. He uses it to destroy our testimony, much like a district attorney in the opening story or an opening trial. The stronghold, it exposes a severe inconsistency between who we say we are and what we really are and what we believe. A spiritual stronghold represents the state-of-the-art manifestation of deceit. If you think for 1 minute that you have outsmarted the devil on your own without the word of God to back you up, you, my friend, are being deceived. You have already fallen into the stronghold. You see, Satan is very, very good at what he does. John 8:44 says, ye are the father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there was no truth in him, or there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and he is the father of it. Revelation 12:9 says, and the great dragon, Satan, was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him, and strongholds were developed. Strongholds are those secret storage areas in our minds. Our series theme passage dealing with spiritual strongholds is found in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, you and I came in here today in the flesh. No one super elevated themselves to church. We're going to go out and get in a gas combustion or diesel combustion, some sort of a fueled vehicle, and we are going to leave this place. We're not going to walk out of here, lift our hands in the air, and super elevate, and immediately we're at our home, sitting at a nice dinner table, having lunch. We're all driving out of here. We came here in the flesh. We're leaving here in the flesh because we are fleshly beings. We were created, though we walk in the flesh. Understand, we do not war after the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are not of the flesh, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Mark 3:27 tells us also that no man can enter into the strong man's house and spoil his goods. That means no man can enter into your home and spoil your goods except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. We have far too many homes that have been bound by the strong man. We have learned just how to deal with it, and it's time for us, it's time for you as a family of God, to break the cycle of sin. It is time for us to break that stronghold that is binding you and your family. It's time for us as Christians to rise up and to destroy the giants in our lives that our daddies have left behind. There are many here today that are in bondage, and it's a sad, sad, sad state of affairs for you to come to a Pentecostal church where there is freedom, where there is freedom, where there is power, where there is deliverance, and you walk in and you walk out. You come in bound up and you walk out bound up. God didn't give you the power of the Holy Ghost, and He doesn't offer you the power of the Holy Ghost for you to live your life as a prisoner of war in the camp of the enemy. He gave you the power of the Holy Ghost. He gave us the power of the Holy Ghost so that we can tread upon serpents and scorpions and defeat them.
I've stated many times in the past that we are at war. I don't care whether you feel like you're in a spiritual battle or not. You are in a spiritual battle. If you don't believe you are, then there's a stronghold that's got into your mind that's telling you something that's simply not true. Satan is trying to kill you. He is trying to destroy you. He will take in your family and he will plant seeds of drugs and alcohol and anger and bitterness and frustration and divorce and abuse and perhaps as an adult, your parents, maybe even if they're alive today, and maybe your parents have died in the years past, but some of those mindsets that have got into your mind had still hold you as a hostage. You may come into this church. You may be repented of your sins. You may have been baptized and filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, yet you can still bear the scars of your past that haunts you each and every day of your life, and Satan has been able to capture you and hold you as a hostage. Some of us, we have very obvious strongholds, and others, we have very private strongholds. We have them where no one can see them, and we go to great lengths to keep them hidden. You see, strongholds of the mind, it can be anything. Jealousy, it can be sexual activity, pornography, anything. We become trapped, unable to unlock ourselves from it. No matter how many times we go, we say that we're not going to go back. We're not going to go back. We come down to this altar. We fall on our face. We repent. We say, I'm not going back. We go back. The next week, the enemy hits us. We fall into his trap. He trips us. We fall on our face. We get frustrated with ourselves. And we say, oh, well, you know what? I blew it already anyway. What's the difference if I have one more drink? So what? If I got to ask for repentance, I might as well just cover it all. And we belly up to a bar stool, or we bury our nose into some website. And we say, God, I'll ask you to forgive me when I'm done. Listen, you got a stronghold in your mind, and it's building a fortress. Do we not understand that we are in a war that is run by spirits, and we want to blame people, we want to blame places and things? Listen, we're not in a war against flesh and blood, but against powers, against spirits, and against angels that are in high places. A person or a friend cannot make you into a stronghold. I cannot look at my father and say, he has forced me into the life of alcohol or drugs. We make choices on our own. They can set you up, but they can't make you follow through. So what makes a stronghold that is in your mind? It's your will. It's your way. People may encourage you, but you must choose. You see, we like to blame our problems on others. We like to spend time blaming others rather than taking the time trying to destroy the strongholds that we have within our lives. You see, it's a spiritual battle. You cannot fight a spiritual battle using weapons of the flesh. You just can't do it. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Ephesians 2:6 says, He hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places with Jesus Christ. That same Jesus Christ who is control of the heavens in Colossians 3:1 says, set your mind on the things above, not on the things on this earth. This earth is corrupt, and we have far too many Christians that are seeking a supernatural deliverance from God, but they are not looking at a supernatural place to get a supernatural deliverance.
a stronghold, when we look at a stronghold, in essence, a stronghold is a fortress. It is made of thoughts, and the battle is a control. The battle that we are facing, it rages on. It's a control for our thoughts. God expects us, when we come to Him, when we seek after Him, it requires us to have a disciplined mind. God expects a complete shift in our thinking. Philippians 2:5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." The last thing in the world that Satan wants is a Christian that has a renewed mind, which produces a changed life. A place where the enemy's thoughts seem more credible, or our thoughts, or God's thoughts. Ephesians 4:27, Paul warns, neither give place to the devil. But so many times in our own minds, we allow our own little section of our mind, we allow the enemy to come in and to take and build a stronghold or a fortress in that one little area of our mind. And we're okay with that because we can keep it hid. When I look, all of these ideas, all of these, they come from within us. If we're not spiritually aware, if we're not spiritually aware, or if we're spiritually weak, we'll naturally, sometimes we view these thoughts as our own thoughts. But they're thoughts that the enemy places, and we as Christians, we need to discipline, we need the discipline of examining our thought life. And looking out and constantly be aware for any influence that Satan may have in our thoughts. This is the reason the Word of God says, bringing every thought into captivity unto the obedience of Christ. You see, the longer a stronghold is allowed to remain in your life, the more difficult it is for you to deal with. And I'm reviewing a little bit here because it's been a month. But here, the process we go through is first, we have a stronghold. We begin to make excuses for that stronghold. It begins to enter into our mind and we begin to entertain it. And we begin to say, you know what, I'm a man. God made me a man. I have flesh. I have desires. We begin to make excuses for that. Then we begin to justify it. You don't understand. Things aren't good at my house. My wife and I, we're gone separate ways. We may live in the same home, but we live separate lives. So we begin to justify it. And then we begin to legalize it, or we begin to allow it into our lives. And we begin to seek it out. We begin to search for it. And last, we begin to fight to protect it. You see, the enemy's plan, it is very simple. He establishes a stronghold in an area of our life, no matter what fate may be. And then he begins to hold us bondage to it as long as we allow him to do so. Thus destroying any potential that you would have for spiritual growth. The good news is that greater is He that is within you than he that is within the world. This makes victory possible. Understand, this makes it possible, not probable, until we resist the devil. And by resisting the devil, according to James 4:7, it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. In order to destroy these strongholds, we must get to the root of the problem. This is where most people simply do not want to go, but it is exactly where we are going this morning, getting to the root of the problem. A stronghold has to be rooted out. You cannot simply cut off the exposed area and think for 1 minute that it is gone. Before I left for camp, I had to mow my yard, and I have quite a thistle crop growing in my yard. And since the first cutting of this year, Brother Hawk, I have mowed thistles down. And you know what? Thistles keep coming back. I came home from camp, and yesterday I walked around my yard looking, and the thistles that I had mowed down before I went to camp are now up yay high over 1 week's time. And I began to look, and I began to think, and I began to think about this message. And I said, Lord, the only way I'm going to get those thistles out of there is I've got to go, and I have have to destroy the root. I can take and mow it down. I can mow it down. I can mow it down. I can mow it down my entire life and never destroy the stronghold and never destroy the root of the problem. So I went into my shop and I opened up a 32-ounce bottle of Roundup and I took double dose, 16 ounces, put it in 2 gallons, dumped in a little more weed and feed sitting on the shelf, and I made a powerful, powerful killer agent for roots of thistles. And by sunset, guess what was happening to those thistles? Their leaves were already beginning to die. I will go out there within the next 24 hours, and you go to pull that thistle out, and the root is nothing but mush. Why is that? Because I took something. I took the Word of God. I took my Roundup, and I took my Roundup, and I went into that secret compartment. I got walking around my yard. I got walking around my life, and said, I've got a stronghold here. I've got a stronghold there. I can cut it off. I can cut it off. I can cut it off. I can cut it off until I go to my deathbed. But until I get some powerful agent that I can spray on my life, and I can spray and spray and dose and dose and dose, and you know what happens? Gone with the stronghold. Dandelions are next. Amen, Brother Phil. I can't use Roundup on dandelions because I'll kill everything. I'm better off roundupping my whole yard and starting over. But you see, to destroy a stronghold, you've got to kill the root. The devil's primary strategy is to disguise his activities so that it appears that someone or something else is to blame. He wants to get our attention on his other mouthpieces, his other instruments, his other hindrances, and he wants us to wrestle with those instead of getting to the root of our problem. We all know that a decongestant, we've all had stuffy noses, a decongestant does not cure the cold. All it does is takes care of a symptom of the cold. You can fight with the symptoms in your stronghold, but you will not end the problems until you deal with the source and bind the strong man in your house. For walk in the flesh, we do not war in the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down, to the destroying of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Our weapons of our warfare are mighty. Our weapons are empowered by God, and our weapons pull down strongholds. As you attack the strongholds in your life, you need to be aware of this one fact: that you are battling the enemy for the spiritual success of your future. You see, satanic forces will wage a personal assault against you to prevent it. You see, Satan's no dummy. He knows full well that those strongholds in your life or those strongholds in your family, they're his only edge in holding you back from taking full authority over him. You and I, we read it. We went over this in the first sermon on this. We have authority over the devil. You have been given authority. We have been given this church. We have been given power and authority over Satan. But you see, the devil is a foe. He's already been disarmed, disabled, and defeated. Hebrews 2:14, for so much as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part the same, that through death he might destroy him. That he had the power of death, that is the devil. The Amplified reads, he himself in a similar manner partook of the same nature, that by going through death he might bring to naught and make of no effect him who had the power of death, that is the devil. This is basically telling us that Jesus Christ went to the grave, and in the grave he destroyed Satan's ability. He took away all of Satan's power and authority. As we enter into this war full-fledged, as we begin to destroy the strongholds in our lives and in our families and our city, we're going to have to slay the giants. There may be some giants in your life that has been in your family for generations. I remember Brother Mike Daly when he came here. He was a young man that came into the church back when Sister Lori Manley Grant and I were, I think we're probably a couple of the last two left, Sister Lori, were teenagers here in the church. And he came in to the church, and he's now a minister, a pastor in Mason City, Iowa. And I remember him telling the story as he baptized his son. You see, his dad was an alcoholic. They were divorced. Mike was an alcoholic when he came to the Lord. And he said, when I baptized my son in the name of Jesus, and he came up out of the water speaking in tongues, he says, it's as though I heard the bondage chains of alcoholism as they broke away from my family. We sing that song, no more shackles, no more chains, no more bondage. I am free. What you're doing today will affect your family. It can affect your family for generations. If we're gonna enter into this battle, just as Israel marched around Jericho, we're going to enter into this battle from a position of confident assurance by God Himself that we are going to win. We have been given the power over all the power of the enemy. What are some of the weapons that we have that we can utilize to destroy the strongholds that are in our lives? How many of you have the Word of God with you this morning? If you have the Word, can you just hold that up? Right here, the Word of God. If we believe the Word of God, if we have faith and confidence in the Word of God, the enemy's power was destroyed when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and we have the power and we have been given the authority through what? Through the Word of God. Either this book is real or it's not. Either we believe it or we don't. John 8:32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. It is written. We'll get the devil when we look at it. It is written. Jesus used that term, words. It is written. It is written. We'll get the devil any time. It is written. We'll get the devil any place. It is written. We'll get the devil anywhere. We have the name of Jesus. Philippians 2, 9 and 10. Therefore God hath also exalted, highly exalted him, and hath given him a name which is above every name, that is the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. What is that telling me? It tells me that every knee shall bow in heaven to the name of Jesus. Every knee shall bow on earth to the name of Jesus. And every knee shall bow that is under the earth. So that means every minion, every demon that is under the earth, every knee shall bow before the name of Jesus. And he has given us that name. That name is written in our hearts and on our foreheads. It is the power and authority behind his word. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And to the glory of God the Father. In the name means with the approval of and the authority of. So that means every knee shall bow, and we have power over all of the enemies in the approval of, and we have permission by our Father to use his name. When we go to battle in the name of Jesus, under the banner of the Holy Bible, under the banner of his word. We have our sword, we have our shield, we have our helmet, and we go and we fight strongholds. we boldly speak and act upon our belief that is in his name, strongholds will be destroyed. Another potent weapon that he has given us. You see, we don't need to run over to the bookstore and buy a whole bunch of books on how to defeat the enemy. We don't need to go on website after website and say, how do I destroy the enemy? All we have to do is have this book. But not just possess the book. We need to make sure that it is inside of us. We have the blood of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. You just understand that? The forgiveness of sins. You see, so when we sin, Brother James, and Satan sees us sin, and he goes slandering in there before the throne, and as he's telling on us, because of our sin, we're down on our knees and we're asking God, we're saying, God, I have sinned, Lord. I am sorry, Lord. Please forgive me, Lord. I pray, God, you would take the blood of Jesus Christ. You would take your blood and you would apply it over the sin in my life. And as the Satan is standing on the throne and he's trying to tell on us, when Jesus looks down and he sees us in repentance, he says, all I see, I don't see anything, Satan. All I see is red. All I see is blood. All I see is redemption. All I see is justification. All I see is one of my children lying, crying out in repentance, Satan, get thee behind me. First John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And I would like to add, and his blood destroys strongholds that have developed and fortresses in our lives. It's the blood of the covenant. And one thing we so often overlook, Brother Phil, is we overlook the power of our testimony. Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him, Satan. That means we overcame Satan. It doesn't say, and they will overcome him. It says, and they overcome him, which simply means that we have the power of our testimony to overcome Satan by the what? By the blood of the Lamb. You take the blood of Jesus Christ and you couple it with the testimony that you have. You may say, Pastor Roy, I don't have a great testimony. Listen, you repented of your sins. You've been baptized in the name of Jesus. You came out of that water of speaking in other tongues. What more of a testimony do you have to have? You are a sinless creature. You are heaven bound. You are not bound by strongholds of Satan. You have the most awesome testimony that anyone could ever possess. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. The word of our testimony is our agreement. The word of our testimony is our agreement with the word, the written word. My testimony is in full agreement with the written word that is in this book. And we have prayer. And to couple this all up, we have prayer. We have prayer 1 John 5:14 and 15, as we pray, understand this, as we communicate with God, as we sit down and say, God, have a seat, I need to talk to you, as we communicate with God according to the word, he hears us. If we know that he hears us, we know that we have what we ask of him. What do you believe will happen as you pray against the strongholds in your life? You see, prayer in the Word of God, what does it do if we have strongholds, if we have something in our lives? Just listen to this. Listen, if you don't get anything else out of this message, get this. The Word of God exposes. Understand this. This Word exposes the strongholds. If we have strongholds in our lives. As we apply the Word of God exposes the strongholds and the Word of God opposes. Do you understand that? It exposes it and then it opposes it. It's like two magnets. It's like you've got a magnet stronghold in your life and you've got another magnet that's the Word of God, and it's the more powerful magnet. And you take that Word of God and you apply it and you expose the Word of God into your heart, into your life, and it opposes that stronghold. What happens when one opposing magnet that is more powerful than the other magnet, and it takes, and when it exposes, it opposes, it pushes it away, it repels it. And as we exert the truth of the Word of God, and through declaring and living the Word of God, it not only opposes, but then it disposes of the stronghold. So the Word of God through prayer, this is why it's so important. If you have a stronghold in your life and you say, I can't get it out, that's because you're not praying and you're not in the Word. You don't have the blood covering your life, because the Word of God exposes the stronghold. The Word of God opposes the stronghold. Then the Word of God will dispose of the stronghold. As our musicians can come, as you stand to your feet. As I closed out the sermon on Father's Day, I don't know how many of you are here. I'm going to repeat just a little bit of this about a dream that God had given me. And I didn't understand. I tried to, in my own carnal mind, try to think my way through it. And I know it was a God dream, and I know it was a God thing, but I didn't quite understand all of this. And as I began to take and work on this message, I was up at camp, and I took some time off, and I didn't want to come home, but I needed some study time, so I took a little time off, and I studied. And I began to think about that dream that God had given me. I'm just going to title it Ned, okay? Those of you that weren't here, I may repeat it a little bit tonight. But anyway, Ned was a gentleman that in this dream I ran into over on the west side of town in an outreach. And when I went to introduce myself, God had told me right away, and it was kind of unusual. He says, it's not what it appears. And I didn't quite understand that, because it was this older guy, kind of, you know, I had Brother Ward come up, kind of Brother Ward's statue, smaller guy, and he had a cane and such. And God just spoke to me and says, it's not what it appears to be. And I didn't understand that. And I walked up and I introduced myself and I said, Pastor Roy Grant from Calvary Gospel Church. And we're having a park outreach, and I kind of talked to him, chatted him a little bit. And he said his name was Ned. As soon as he said his name was Ned, God spoke to me again and said, he's not who he appears. And I didn't quite understand that. And one thing that I would like to correct, I got a thing a little out of sequence. It was right after that when I began to talk about the neighborhood and about, you know, reaching out to people in the neighborhood and such, that's when he told me that I didn't belong there. And begin to, his countenance totally changed, and I'm kind of rushing a little bit, probably too much, but his countenance changed. He says, you don't belong here, and I will destroy you. And go back to where you came from. You don't belong on this side of town. Go back. You're on the wrong side of the tracks, Pastor. Go home. And after he said that, at that point, that is when I kind of looked down, not really knowing what to say, what to do. And I felt a big shadow towering over me. And when I looked back up, that's when it was just this big towering spirit. It wasn't puking and blowing green vile and none of that junk. It wasn't like something you'd see in Hollywood. It was just a large, darker, angelic. Demons are fallen angels. That's what they are. He looked just like Gabriel, other than Gabriel is so bright white it'd probably burn your eyes out, and he was all smoky and charred and looked like he had been fighting a horrific battle. I didn't know what to do, and at that time, I sat down in a chair. And as I sat down in the chair, I wanted to get real cocky at first, and I remembered something I'd said in a message about, you know, we are fighting a very formidable foe. I remember I laid my Bible down at his feet. And when I did that, as I was recalling these thoughts, this is when God brought this to my attention. That listen, the enemy has no authority in our lives.
Right.
And he has no power over us if we're living this book.
Right.
You see, the reason that Satan gets in to our lives and builds strongholds is because we simply allow it. You see, and it's through this word. Why did Ned, after I got done, I sang In the Name of Jesus, just this old chorus we used to sing, and closed my eyes, and in the middle of that, you could kind of feel that shadow. If you hold your hand over your eyes now, you can kind of see the light and dark. I felt that shadow disappear. As I began to sing, In the Name of Jesus, demons will have to flee. I sang the song through. I opened up my eyes, and here was Ned just going over the hill. And he turned back and looked, and I looked, and he walked over the hill. You see, it was this word. It was this word. When that word was placed at Ned's feet, Ned didn't have the power and authority to step over that word.
Right. Right.
Do we understand that? Do you understand that? We all have a Ned in our lives. We all have strongholds that seek to destroy us. But if we have the word of God, it will expose. The word of God exposed who Ned really was.
Right.
And then as I laid it between me and his feet, it opposed Ned.
Right.
And because Ned couldn't stand there and step over it, it deposed Ned.
Right.
I thought that dream was just something in my imagination until I looked up the word Ned. What it means. It means protector or guardian of property and estate. We have power and dominion, Brother James, over the spirits of Revival Ridge.
Yep.
And Allied right. Drive. Take this word before you, brother. Because that was Ned's territory. It will dispose him, oppose him, and expose him all in one. This morning, if you don't feel like
like you are where you need to be in God. That's all of us. I want you to come down here to the front. Now you may say, oh, I don't really feel like coming down. Listen, we're fighting a battle. You're fighting a battle. I don't know what stronghold you have in your life, but the only way to root it out is to get down here and begin to cry out to God and begin to say, listen, I can't do this. We're going to talk a little bit more about this tonight. We're going to go into a little bit more detail on how to use our weapons. But listen, the power of the enemy is strong, but greater is he that is within us. If you need a healing this morning, I invite you to come down. If you need salvation this morning, I invite you to come down if you never repented of your sin.